We will go ahead and call this meeting to order at 6:33 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board regarding any closed session items? Okay, seeing none, we will adjourn to closed session. Okay, we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. I'd like to first ask that we stand, and I'm going to call a moment of silence for two people, and then we will go into our invocation, and we're very honored to have the Boy Scout Troop 623 with us today, and Damian Jimenez is going to lead us in our prayer, our invocation, and Francisco Bravo will lead us in our flag salute. But first, a moment of silence for Ruth Hoagland, who is the mother-in-law of Mr. Spence, who unfortunately passed away last weekend. So we want to keep her in our thoughts and prayers. In addition, we have Charlene Casanova, who passed away recently. And I have a quick little description that her family sent over. Longtime West Covina resident Charlene Casanova, or Charlie as she was affectionately known, passed away on August 16, 2013 in Palm Springs, California, after a six-year battle with pulmonary fibrosis. Mrs. Casanova's four children attended school in the district and are all graduates of West Covina High School. Her tireless involvement in civic affairs included service as a room mother for all four of her children's many, many classrooms, as well as ASB. She also worked as a volunteer at the West Covina Youth Center in Cameron Park and served as the recreation leader at the West Covina Senior Center. Her joyful and tireless disposition made the hard work of any project light, and her trademark smile illuminated every room she entered. She is survived by her husband, Ed Casanova, daughters Nicole, Etika, sons Anthony and Michael, her parents Edward and Frances Jeanne Hildreth, her sisters Carol and Tracy, her brother Gary, and her adoring grandchildren, Alexander, Nathan, and Anthony. And on a special note, her son Michael, who was a West Covina High School ROTC graduate, is currently serving as an engineer with the United States Air Force. So if we can have a moment of silence in honor of both ladies, Ruth Hoagland and Charlene Casanova. Thank you so much. Mr. Jimenez, if you'll come forward, please. Damian Jimenez will lead us in our invocation. Over here at the podium, the microphone. Oh, and by the way, Damian's birthday is tomorrow. He'll be 12 years old. So happy birthday to you, Damian.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here today, and we may write down notes, and we will please bless the people who are sick, and the people that are died may go to heaven, and we may have a good day. And I say this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Damian, and happy birthday to you. Okay, Francisco Bravo, if you can please come forward and lead us in the flag salute.
If you're in uniform, please salute. If not, put your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two. Thank you so much, Francisco. We're honored to have Boy Scout Troop 623 here today. They are doing their community service project, so they're watching our board meeting today. So it's part of their civic engagement, I should say. I'm sorry. Okay. Roll call, please. Here.
Mrs. Bullock?
Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Cobb?
Here.
Ms. Shoemaker?
Here.
Ms. Kaplan?
Here.
Okay. In closed session, the board took the following actions by a vote of 5-0 to approve a settlement agreement related to OAH case number 20130600079. The vote was unanimous. Also in closed session, By a vote of 5-0, the board took action to approve a settlement related to OAH case number N02307038-1, and the vote was unanimous. Okay, my report, the back-to-school nights have been really, really successful. It was a pleasure to meet Dr. Johnson Evans and Ms. Pruitt, and I've seen fellow board members there, so that's been excellent, and the superintendent, and parents are excited, students are excited, everyone's doing a really, really good job, so I wanted to congratulate each of the schools. Any of my colleagues have any reports? Mr. Cox, Ms. Poulos, Mr. Spence?
Thank you for the moment of silence on behalf of our family. Well, I appreciate that. That's
it. Ms. Shoemaker? No. Okay. Okay. We do have one person who would like to address the board. There it is. Okay. We have Amanda Castaneda, who is a student at Orangewood, right? Okay, Amanda. Amanda's going to talk to us about school lunches. So thank you so much for being with us, Amanda. We appreciate that you're here.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Castaneda. I am 10 years old, and I am a fifth grader at Orangewood Elementary. I have been at Orangewood since kinder. I noticed a change in the school lunch every year. It's been getting worse every year. Most of the food that my friends and I liked are no longer being served, or the flavor is gone. I know that you want us to be healthy, but the food does not have any flavor, so it does not taste good, so most students throw it away. Most of the time, I bring lunch to school because the food that is being served is not good. And the times when I buy lunch is when I make what I like is on the menu. But when I go to lunch, there is no more left, and then I have to get the other food I don't like. This year, the school menu looks pretty, but it does not make the food taste any better. Most of the kids would like to see the pizza calzones to be brought back along with the burritos, tacos, and other things like spaghetti and the graham crackers with the peanut butter filling, just to name a few. That is all I wanted to talk about, all I want to talk to you about, so can you please try to make the food better?
Thank you, Amanda. Stand right there, okay? Hang on one second. Thank you so much. I'm going to take your speech, I'm going to give it to the superintendent, because you made some really good recommendations. Is that okay? So that she can follow up on some of these recommendations, okay? Thank you so much. Do you want us to follow up with you? Because sometimes the superintendent sends a letter to people when they have a concern. Yes?
Okay.
Thank you for being here, Amanda. Thank you.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
You know, it's very interesting, Amanda. I just heard on the news today when I was driving into work that this is a problem nationwide, because federally we've been asked to serve much healthier foods, and what's happening across the country is students don't like the healthier foods, and so they're not buying it, and so school districts are actually losing money on the school program. So I really want to thank you for being brave and coming to us and telling us about that, because I think you've identified an issue that really a lot of students feel across the whole country. So thank you.
Yeah, Amanda, I have a 10-year-old who's made the same complaint, especially about some of the items that have been removed from the menu. And he's very vocal, especially when it comes to pizza, spaghetti, things like that, and the calzones. And so I know exactly, and it's not just that we've been asked to, we've been mandated. We've been forced by the federal government, the national government in Washington, D.C., to have different standards for our food. So I know that's one of the issues that we're going to have to try to figure out, but it's not just your class. Your class isn't targeted. They've targeted every fifth grader and their taste buds. And so based on the news reports that we've been hearing and based on what my son's been telling me too.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming and sharing that. Appreciate that.
Thank you. We're gonna work on it. Change may be slow, though, so be patient with us. Okay? Thank you, Amanda. Have a good evening and get your homework done.
Healthy food can taste good.
I think this should count for homework.
I think this should, too.
So
you know the principal.
Stay healthy and taste good.
There's got to be a way. Okay, thank you so much. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to address the school board at this time? I have no more blue cards in front of me. Okay. Seeing none, let's move on to the business session of our agenda. We're at item A, organizational. Okay? I don't know if the Boy Scouts are following along. Did you each get that thick little packet out there? Okay, so we're on A1. Okay? Okay, I'd like to remove item 3 off of consent. Is there anyone else who would like to remove or add items to consent?
Well, we do have an amended personnel report.
Okay.
So do we attach the amended one to 8? Make note that 8 was amended.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to remove 17.
Okay, that was 17. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to add or subtract? Okay, so I have removing items 3 and 17 from consent, and item 8 with amendments. Okay. So who would like to make the motion to move that?
I'll second it.
Okay, so it has been moved by Mr. Steve Cox and seconded by Ms. Cami Poulos to remove items 3 and 17 off of consent and accept item 8 with amendments to approve the agenda and consent items for the regular meeting of August 27, 2013. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. So item number 3. Okay. So, gentlemen, we're on to item number 3, where it says appointment of student board members. Okay, so we have a motion here to appoint Hannah Cristobal and Lauren Ramirez as the alternate as student board representatives from Edgewood High School. Does anybody have any discussion? Okay, we're going to take a vote on it to see if we will approve it. All those in favor say aye.
I just want to say I'm really excited that you're our first senior class and that we get to have, for the very first senior class, we get to have, after the vote. We'll get to have representatives from our new high school. Okay. Thank you for coming in.
Okay. Oh, wait, before we take the vote, I don't know that my colleagues know who you are. So who's Hannah?
I'm Hannah.
Okay. So Hannah is going to be our and are you have a position on ASB?
I'm president.
You're president. Okay. So you'll be very busy this year. Okay. So Lauren.
Yes.
Lauren will be the alternate. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so all those in favor say aye.
You need to move.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need somebody to move it and second
it.
I apologize. It was moved by Ms. Poulos and seconded by Ms. Shoemaker to appoint Hannah Cristobal and Lauren Ramirez as student board representatives from Edgewood High School. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? It's carried 5-0. Do you ladies want to say anything? Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Well, we're excited to have you join us. Very, very excited. It's going to be a good year. I'm sorry? No, next meeting. We have to vote on them first and then next meeting.
Hannah and Lauren, in 1983, I stood out at Edgewood High School when it was high school and got signatures so that we could force the school board to put a student rep on. Because there was a law at the time that if you got 10% of student body, they had to add a student rep. And ever since then, there's been reps in various formats from different schools. Just so you know, not only do you get to just present what's going on, you can comment on agenda items and things like that. You don't get to vote, but if there's an agenda item or you don't like the cafeteria food,
you can tell us.
You know, whatever, you can tell us all that kind of stuff too. So don't be shy. You have the same exact rights as a board member, except with closed session and being able to vote.
I will be contacting Mr. Travatori to do an orientation with the two of you to walk you through the agenda and how we do things so that you're familiar and you'll be ready to go. Okay? We're excited to have you. Thank you. If you want, you're free to go. It's up to you. I know seniors get a lot of homework.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye, ladies. Okay. Item number 4. I do have on the evaluation of superintendent. Is there anybody who has any comments on the advertising and promotion? No? Okay. All right. on the evaluation of the superintendent. Anybody else besides myself who has two minor little grammar items? Okay, well then, you do. Okay, so Ms. Shoemaker?
I'm just curious how this policy affects the contract with the superintendent that we have, because it does modify a little bit on how it's done in comparison to your contract.
I actually looked at my contract, and the difference that I saw was my contract actually says that it needs to be completed in April. And I talked to Eileen about this, Mrs. Menace, and she felt that since it says unless we both agree, that she preferred to have, Mrs. Menace asked to put this on the agenda,
yes,
that this would be for all superintendents unless contracts dictated otherwise. But if we put my contract on here, it would be about me specifically versus. So as long as I agree to the 30th,
right,
it works.
So the president would have to check, as long as Ms. Kaplan is here, because her contract says April, we have to check in with her each year to make sure she's okay with getting it done in May by the June 30th deadline. If she agrees to it, then we're abiding by her contract. But then for the next superintendents that come in, we have to be mindful of our policy.
No, not policy, government.
I mean our board, I'm sorry?
Government code.
Our government code. Okay.
Why would we do that every year? Why wouldn't we be looking at just having an amendment to the contract that changes that clause so that we don't have to negotiate it every year, discuss it every year?
We could.
We don't have a contract that's out of sync with our board policy.
We could, but we recently amended it, so we'd have to.
This would have been better then, but it shouldn't take long to get it changed.
So all I'd be amending is the date of my evaluation?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Just so that the contract matches up with the board policy, assuming it gets passed.
The government.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Then we'll do that on the next agenda. Okay. Were those your only questions or concerns? Okay, thank you. Mr. Spence? No? Okay. Mine are very, very minor. 1, 2, 3, third paragraph, where it says second sentence, and shall include but not be limited to. We can put a colon in there because we've got a list coming, district goals and success indicators, semicolon, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So if we can put a colon in front of the word two, okay, that's my suggestion, just grammar. And then on the next page, 4E, 1, 2, second paragraph, second sentence, superintendent shall sign the evaluation, place in a confidential envelope, comma. In the other places in the policy, we've placed a comma before and when we've given a list. So just to be consistent. And those were my only two suggestions.
Okay.
Anybody have any concerns? Or
I do have one.
yes, Ms. Shoemaker.
On 4D, the second to last paragraph, it says each board member shall independently evaluate the superintendent's performance. we've had situations in the past where individual board members refuse to take part in the process. How are we supposed to handle that type of situation?
Well, it doesn't dictate how. Independently could be several ways, that you all fill something out prior to the meeting, that the president calls each board member individually, that you have a discussion as a whole. That
right,
more is the process than each board member giving input.
Correct. I was going to say that it can be done in a variety of ways.
Okay.
So everybody can send an email to the board. They could pre-fill it and send it to the board president, who can then synthesize it. It can be done as a discussion here. There's a variety of ways to do it. And we didn't specify. We just said that each one has to participate. But there are plenty of ways.
But again, we've had times when individual board members did not participate, would not participate, above and beyond filling out a form or discussing it in the meeting.
Okay. Well,
and so that's my concern with this policy. I don't know how to fix it. I understand that the board president will combine them together to give the one evaluation, which is what we do now.
How about each board member shall be given the opportunity to independently evaluate the superintendent?
That would work for me, because that way if somebody chooses not to.
Was this a change of law, though? That's what
I don't, well, I don't see a code next to it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I can check it out. I'll bring it back for second reading.
Okay, shall be given the opportunity. Each board member shall be given the opportunity to independently evaluate the superintendent's performance. Does that capture what you were saying, Ms. Willis?
And then as long as y'all understand that it's going to be, they won't be given to the superintendent.
Well, correct, and it says the board president
should
produce a document that summarizes.
I just didn't want that to change that meaning.
Okay. Okay. Alrighty, that was it for me, and that appears to be everyone else. Anybody with any comments about BPAR 3460?
My one is I think we should have a policy of requesting from the LA County Board of Education their audit and their statement that they're financially sound as well. Since we deposit monies in their account, we should have some mechanism that we only request that information so it's on file since we're required to.
I'm sure we could do a public information
report. Report to them, and we're required to deposit monies and accounts under the control. We should know that they're financially sound and that they've their audits. And so we request that. Let the board know it's available.
We could. We don't need to add it to the policy, but we could. That's a good idea. I like that.
It happens if it's a, well, I shouldn't say it happens if it's a policy because I found out that's not true. But we could make that part of an AR or something, just that the board's notified that it's available and where it is.
And then if we find out they're not sound, we don't have to deposit the money?
We can, well, I mean,
I mean, that would be nice, right?
It would be something for us to raise to the public and make them aware of, you know, our mandates and the problems we're having and maybe, you know, get LA County to pay attention.
Okay, so you're suggesting adding that to the AR?
Well, there isn't an AR.
Yeah, there's an AR attached to this.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so which of these headings would you like to put it under, or do you want to create a new one?
No, just on the AR, just under the financial reports and accountability.
Okay, so another paragraph?
That the superintendent or designee will request the necessary financial records, including an audit of income and expenditures from LA County, and let the board know when that's available.
Okay, the superintendent designee will request. Can you do that slower? Request.
Say it again.
The necessary financial records.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, the audit. Yeah, the audit report of Los Angeles County Board of Education.
So do you, under the same wording for the audit report, where we shall provide it, then you want something to say that we shall
request
it with the same.
Let the board notify the board of its availability. Because, you know, we have to deposit all our money at LA County.
Okay, we'll bring it back to you next time.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, BPAR 3514.1. Any questions, comments this way? Questions or comments this way? Okay. And BB 9130. Comments or questions this way? Comments. Okay, Ms. Shoemaker.
On 4S.
4S.
Under the paragraph, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth paragraph down. It says, subcommittee shall act in an advisory capacity, making recommendations to the board. No subcommittee action shall be binding on the full board. And then when you go to the paragraph below it.
I'm sorry, you said that was 4S as in Sam?
X.
I apologize. Thank you. 4X. Okay, continue.
And then when you go to the paragraph underneath it, it says, unless specifically authorized by the board to act on its behalf, the committee shall act in an advisory capacity. So one paragraph we're saying they can only act in an advisory capacity. The next we're saying it can be authorized.
Okay. It looks like we should take one out.
Think of the last sentence, you mean the new one? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, basically under the sixth paragraph, the last sentence, I think it could just be taken out because we already discussed the advisory capacity in the paragraph above.
Okay, so it's this. The old version talks about advisory. You want to take this unless specifically authorized by the board?
Yes,
just take that out. Okay.
The old language says they can only be an advisory.
That was a mistake. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Spence, any other?
Nope.
Mr. Cox, Ms. Poulos. Okay.
Move for approval as amended.
Okay, so, and who will second that?
I will.
Okay, it has been moved by Mr. Mike Spence and seconded by Ms. Poulos to accept for first reading with amendments the following board policies, administrative regulations, and bylaws as presented: BP1325, BP2140, BPAR3460, BPAR3514.1, and BB9130. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, it's carried 5-0. Okay, so we are now going to move on to item number 7. Okay, so item number 7, gentlemen. We're on item 7. I will turn this over to you, Ms. Kaplan, right?
Okay. A little background on this. Apparently, around 7 years ago at West Covina High School, there was a World History Honors class, and there was a curriculum outline, apparently a curriculum outline for it. 2 years ago, when Edgewood opened, they requested to teach this class and referred to the curriculum outline that was used in West Covina High School. This year, it came to our attention that we cannot find the old curriculum outline. And so the course has been taught for 2 years, and this is the third year where their students enrolled. And we tried to figure out how we can solve this problem and make the board aware of it. And so our decision was to bring this new outline to you prior to it going through the channels of the Curriculum Council, so you're aware that this course is being taught, and to follow the curriculum outline to bring the second reading to you after we go through that process. But we weren't quite sure how to do this to correct this problem, so we decided to bring it to your attention through this, through a first reading. Did I get that right? Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cox, any questions?
No.
Ms. Shoemaker. Mr. Spence.
Well, I actually only have one question. I'm going to be looking at the book, however, and so I'll see there, but on page 4, when it talks about the Industrial Revolution, it says, analyze the emergence of capitalism as a dominant economic pattern and the responses to it. And I guess I wanted to know what, according to, I didn't see it in the text when I was looking, what the definition of capitalism is and how that became the view that that was actually the dominant economic pattern during that time period.
From the research that I can find related to the standard, the idea of the capitalism has to do with emphasizing the profit and the private ownership piece. And so related to the Industrial Revolution, if you look at that as the Industrial Revolution increased from England throughout, the capitalistic economy grew. Then the other pieces were in response to that capitalist piece coming forward. In the book, there's not a straight definition. The definitions that I found were related to the framework and the websites for other publishers' textbooks along that same line for the 10th grade course.
Yeah, because actually, you know, what you outlined as definition of capitalism, you know, there was a lot of state intervention in the United States, England, France, Germany, Japan, in their economies. And so if you take the strict definition of capitalism, you know, that doesn't fit that it became the economic theory, because I'm not sure there was a place it was actually truly practiced to begin with, because the state interfered in the United States, it still does, in all these countries, you know, with the free market. And so it was a little confusing to me on how that was viewed, that that would be the dominant world pattern and the responses to it.
I don't,
if there was a different form of capitalism where there was a different definition than how it was described, I could understand that. So
from the
I'll look
that
at
found.
The textbook, but I mean, because the United States gave away land, you know, to railroads during that time period. You know, they eventually, during that time period, shut down profitable railroads in order to help other railroads that weren't profitable. And so, I mean, you know, I have a hard time seeing how that fits the definition of capitalism. And same with the England's economic model, that a lot of it was colonial, and there was a lot of state intervention.
Okay.
What would you like us to do?
Well, I will take a look at the book and I'll get back to you at the next.
Okay, and then do you want a copy of the standards? This came directly out of the standards, so.
That is actually word for word.
That is
word for word the standard.
The state doesn't get it either.
10.3.6.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other comments from the board? Okay.
So we're not going to bring this back as a second reading tomorrow because we want to go through the process with the curriculum council. When we bring it back to you, it will be the second reading. Are you comfortable with that?
Why are we doing the first reading if it hasn't gone through the curriculum council?
Because I told you we realized that this right. had not been brought to you, and we wanted to make you aware of the process. And if you would prefer us bringing it back for a second reading, then going through the process and seeing if there's going to be any amendments to this, we could do it that way. Just trying to figure out a way of keeping you informed of the process that we're going through as the class is being taught. Do you have a recommendation?
I prefer having it come for second reading after hearing from the committee, because if they do have changes, then we have the opportunity to approve or deny that at that point.
Well,
it's a little tougher with second reading.
Well, my question was, shouldn't they do that before it comes to us for the first reading?
And we can do that. We could pull this and do it that way. I just wanted you to be aware.
That's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking of doing the second reading now. I was thinking, well, shouldn't it go to the curriculum committee and then
that would be fine too. We could pull it tonight and then send it to.
We can pull it.
Yeah, and it's we could do all too.
Ms. Kaplan wanted to be very transparent and make us all aware, so we figured this was the best way to get it on.
Well, and can we do when it comes back next time for first and second reading?
And
if we have
perfect.
Any
issues, prefer that rather than.
Thank you. Spent many, had a long discussion on how to do this.
Pull it, we're going to table, and next time it'll be first and second reading.
Next time being after?
After curriculum
council.
And then how long does that usually take?
We're planning curriculum council to start in September to deal with that, so it'll probably
take
time.
Probably
won't come back
until
late
October.
There's plenty of time to read this.
Is there any way for this class to get it done a little bit faster since it's already being taught?
Yeah, that's been our conversation. Thank you.
Okay. We are moving on now to item number, 17. Okay, item number 17. Ms. Shoemaker.
I just have one small issue with this, and so I would like to vote on Atkinson, Adelson, Loya, Rood, and Romo by itself, but I will move approval of the other two contracts.
Okay.
So you're separating out.
You're separating them out.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So let's first go with Lozano Smith and Public Agency Law Group. All those in favor to approve the agreement? I'm sorry?
You need a second.
I'm sorry. You're
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Poulos. All righty. And Jessica, you moved it, right?
Correct.
All right, let me mark this in my notes, though. Okay, all those in favor, and now we can get a vote, to approve the contract for Lozano Smith and Public Agency Law Group. Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, it's carried 5-0. Okay, now to vote specifically on Atkinson, Andelson, Loya, Rood, and Romo. Ms. Shoemaker, you're moving that as well, correct?
No.
No? Okay. No? Okay.
You're reader deposition.
No. All right. Who will move this?
I will.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Okay, so the motion is carried 4-1 with Ms. Shoemaker voting no. Okay, I did have for Board of Education discussion, I did have a question that I forgot to ask at the last meeting. Did you speak to Cabinet and race to the top two?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And
the intent to apply deadline was the 23rd.
It's too big of an undertaking to do for this year
okay.
with everything else that we're doing. Colleen Hawkins, you want to talk to it, Mrs. Hawkins?
We looked at it really closely.
So I had given the information to Ms. Kaplan to see if it was make sense for our district. So, okay. All right. Thank you. Dates to remember, August 28th. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Spence.
I just want to let you know that AB 133 passed the floor today.
I saw that today. Thank you.
Assembly, which is a bill I happen to be familiar with because Assemblymember Hagman, who represents part of West Covina, was part of that. But this bill requires the State Board of Education, when they do textbook adoption, to do electronic versions and make that available so that we can figure out how to use that and they adopt it. That's part of the process.
That's going to change the whole textbook adoption, and it's going to make these companies take care of that for all states. So we thank you for that. Now we just have to get.
Don't thank me. Thank you, Solomon.
Yeah. That's exactly what I meant.
Pass along our thanks.
But it now puts more urgency into making sure that our students have the technology to have that online.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Spence. Anybody else for board discussion before I read the dates to remember? Okay, August 28th, back to school night at Coronado. August 29th, back to school night at Walnut Grove. September 2nd, it is a holiday, Labor Day. Schools and district offices closed. September 4th, back to school night at Edgewood High School. September 5th, back to school night at Edgewood Middle School. Our next Board of Education meeting is September 10th. Back to school night at West Covina High School, September 12th. We will adjourn this meeting in honor of Charlene Casanova and Ruth Hoagland.
And Nancy Manners. The first female mayor of West Covina.
Okay.
She's actually Covina Valley School Board member.
And Nancy Manners.
She's Covina Valley School Board member.
Okay, so we call, there being no further business to come before the board, the regular meeting of August 27th is adjourned at 7:37 p.m.